It's good to see you again, young people, and lovely singing indeed. And certainly, while Alan's already welcomed you, I welcome you too. And may the Lord richly bless us this evening. If you have a Bible with you, please turn to the New Testament and to the Gospel according to Luke and the chapter 5. If you haven't got a Bible with you, don't you worry. Just you look at the Bible with the person beside you, or even just listen. Every night we're seeking to preach what the Bible itself says. So this is not the idea of some man or some preacher or even some church. This is what God himself has written in his precious and unchanging word. But Luke's Gospel and the chapter 5, and we're going to commence reading at verse 27 of the chapter. We're going to read about a man called Levi. Elsewhere in the Bible he's known as Matthew. And so tonight you may hear me using those names interchangeably, Matthew and Levi. It's the same person. But let's read about this man, Levi, or indeed Matthew. Verse 27 of Luke chapter 5. And after these things, he, that is Christ, went forth and saw a publican. A publican was a tax collector named Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he, that is Christ, said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with him. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do you eat and drink? If you don't hear the Lord speaking to you tonight, this will be a very boring night. But yet if God was to speak to you, Almighty God was to speak to your heart, what a wonder it would be. Let's, the Lord's promise, if we seek him with all our heart, we will find him. Let us all pray to that end now. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy beloved Son, the one who is our Saviour, the one who's done all that's necessary, that our sins can be forgiven once and for all our sins in the past and all our sins in the future, to be forgiven once and for all in time and for eternity. We thank you, Father, for him who's done all that's necessary to make us perfect in thy sight. And Father, to take us to glory after being with us in life. Father, we thank you for the testimony. We thank you for the change in Leah's life. And I pray, Father, that you would be pleased to repeat that testimony many times over, even of people coming to know Christ, seeing him in his beauty and loving him. Oh, Father, thank you for saving me, for changing me many years ago. I pray, Father, that if there's anyone in here tonight and they're lost in their sin, that you'd open up their eyes to see the beauty of Christ and they would follow him tonight and give their all to him. And for each one that's saved, Lord, you'd have a word in season two. Fill our hearts with our Saviour. Lord, fill me with the Spirit of God. Bring to my mind afresh the things I was happy to say. And let thy word go forth with free course. May Christ be glorified. May his kingdom be advanced. May God the Spirit do a work that truly lasts for eternity. In every heart we plead it. Amen. Sometimes there are things in life that seem impossible, but yet we eventually realize they're not impossible at all. For example, 70 years ago, people would have thought it was impossible to ever to go into space, impossible to ever get to the moon. But yet, we know that that which may seem impossible is actually possible. 100 years ago, people thought it would be impossible to talk to somebody on the other side of the world and to see them. But we know that's not impossible. We can do that through Skype and through FaceTime and through WhatsApp video call and all the rest. 120 years ago, people thought it was impossible to fly in the sky. But you and I know that that is not impossible. Many of us, I'm sure, have been on a plane and done just that. Sometimes in life there are things that seem impossible, but the reality is they're not impossible at all. And it's the same whenever it comes to salvation. Perhaps you're here tonight and you think, there's no way I could ever be saved. No way I could ever become a Christian. I've got no interest in Christ, no desire for Christ. What you think may be impossible actually is not impossible. Or perhaps you're here and you're a believer already and you have a loved one, someone that you care about, a friend or a family member, and you think, you know, it's impossible that they'll ever be saved. Well, I want to encourage you. What may seem impossible is, in fact, not impossible. Because tonight we're going to look at a man called Levi, also known by the name of Matthew. And we're going to look at a seemingly impossible conversion. And we're going to note a number of things regarding Christ. And the first thing I want you and I to note tonight is that Christ is powerful. He's able to save and to convert the seemingly impossible. For example, let's look at this man, Levi. Notice with me that Levi is one who has no interest in Christ. If we have a little look at some of the previous verses. For example, if you have a Bible, look with me at chapter 4 of this gospel record. Luke chapter 4 and the verse 14. Read about Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Galilee is a region in Israel. And there went out a fame of him that is Christ through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Christ here he's known, he's recognized. People are standing back and saying, this is glorious, this man and the preaching that he gives. And he's known throughout Galilee. If you look with me at the same chapter, verse 31, we find that Christ came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them, that is the people in the Sabbath days, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Christ's authority is not being spread, but is being spread with this specific message. He preaches with power. If you look with me now at verses 38 and 40. Sorry, verse 37, we find in the fame of Christ went into every place of the country round about. Christ is becoming very popular. In verses 38 and 39, we find about a particular lady. She's healed by Christ. And as a result, in verses 40 and following, we find that many at night time will come to be healed by Christ. They'll come from all around. Coming into chapter 5 and the verse 1, we find that it came to pass that people pressed upon Christ to hear the word of God, so much so that Christ actually needs to get into a ship so that he can be able to speak to all the people together because they've been pressing in on him. The point I want to get is there is an abundance of people hearing of Christ, people running to hear Christ, wanting to listen to him, wanting to see him, wanting to be healed by him. In verse 17 of chapter 5, we find that people, at the end of that verse, from every town of Galilee and from Judea and from Jerusalem, these are places many miles apart, and yet they're all coming to hear Christ. People are running to hear Christ. People are desiring to learn more of this man, this one who speaks with power, this man who speaks with authority, this man who has the power of God. And yet, you and I come into verse 27, we find there that after all these things and all that's been happening, Christ went forth and he saw a publican, a tax collector named Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom, sitting at his workplace. Levi's not like the other people. People are traveling mile after mile after mile. They're leaving their homes, they're leaving their work just to go and to hear Christ and to see him. But not Levi. Levi could not be bothered. Levi has no interest in hearing of Christ. He's got zero interest in hearing Christ speak. He's got zero interest in being changed by Christ. He's unlike many. People could look at this man Levi and say, there's no way he'll ever be converted. He's got no interest in hearing Christ. But you see, here's the first lesson. Christ is powerful. He's able even to save those that have no interest in Christ. Perhaps you've come here tonight and you've got no interest. You're here because a friend's invited you. You're here because maybe your family just expects you to be here. But you've got no interest. Well, let me tell you this. While Levi wasn't seeking Christ, Christ was seeking Levi. And while you may not be seeking Christ tonight, Christ is seeking you. He's interested in you. Notice with me another thing about Levi. Not merely has he got no interest in Christ, but Levi very likely is one who has already rejected Christ. There's two things I would say regarding this. This man Levi, when he's converted, he's going to be used by God to write the very first book of the New Testament, the book of the Gospel according to Matthew. That's the same Matthew we're reading of here in in Luke chapter 5, verse 27, this man Levi, it's the same one who will write the gospel record. Now, we haven't got time to go through it tonight, but if you were to go through Matthew's 28 chapters, you will find that Matthew quotes the Old Testament scriptures over 100 times. To put that into perspective, you take the other gospel records, Mark, Luke, and John, other books, many more chapters, and Matthew quotes the Old Testament scriptures more times than all the rest of the others combined together. Matthew clearly has a great knowledge of the Word of God. And now, while I say it is possible that Levi, or indeed Matthew, came to the knowledge of the Word of God, this great knowledge after his conversion as a man, yet I would say it's more likely that he learned it as a child. In fact, there's something very interesting. If you turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to Mark, just the book before the New Testament, Mark's Gospel. And the chapter 2. Mark's Gospel in the chapter 2. We read the same passage about this man, Levi. Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, in the verse 14. And we read, "And as he, that is Christ, passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me." So Levi is known as the son of Alphaeus. Now, if you look with me at Mark chapter 3, we find in verse 16 and, well, verse 14 and following, that Christ here chooses 12 disciples. And their names are given, verse 16, Simon, surnamed Peter, and then verse 17, James, the son of Zebedee, and all the rest of it. But you look at me at verse 18, we read, "And Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, who's also the son of Alphaeus." You say, well, what's the point here? Well, Mark tells us about Matthew, who's the son of Alphaeus, and he then tells us the next chapter about James, who's the son of Alphaeus. James is one of the 12. Now, we know from Scripture, I'm not going to go into the references now for time, you can speak to me afterwards and I'll happily point them out to you, but we know that Alphaeus was the brother of Joseph, the one who married Mary. Now think about this. Jesus Christ was born through Mary as a virgin. So that would make Matthew, and that would make James, or indeed this man Levi we're talking about, the legal cousin of Jesus Christ. So it's very likely that Matthew was one who was brought up as a child, taught the Word of God, was brought along to church, to the worship of God, heard the preaching from the Word of God, and even more than that, it was very likely that Matthew, this man Levi, would have had Jesus Christ in his house. Very likely, as his legal cousin, Jesus Christ, being in his house at the dinner table, hearing Christ speak to him directly. And yet what we find now, that Matthew or Levi is a grown man, he's got no interest in Christ. Christ is going around doing his ministry. Many people running after Christ to hear him. People leaving the workplace, but not Levi. He just couldn't be bothered. He's got no interest in Christ. He's heard Christ. He's spoken with Christ before. He's heard Christ speak to him. But not Levi. He's got no interest in Christ. He's rejected Christ already. The one who's come into this world to save. I wonder if there's someone here tonight and you say, "Look, preacher, there's no way I'll ever be converted. I'm just here because someone's invited me. I'm just here because my family expect me to be here. I'm just here just to keep on a good face before the youth fellowship." Let me tell you, while you may have rejected Christ in the past, Christ is seeking you tonight. You may have no interest in Christ, but Christ is seeking you tonight. Oh, it looked like Levi would never be converted. No interest in Christ. He had already rejected Christ. But Christ was still seeking him. Maybe you've been brought up in a family and you were taught the Word of God. Maybe you've been brought along to church before and you've heard Christ speak to you through his Word, and yet you've rejected already. You've already said, "No, I don't want Christ. I don't want his salvation." Let me tell you, Christ is still seeking you tonight. You may not want him, but Christ wants you. Let me say something else. Levi is one who is focused on the things of this earth. That's why it would seem almost impossible for him to be converted. He's too interested about the things of this earth. If you look with me, please, again at Luke chapter 5 and the verse 27. While there's multitudes from all around Israel and all around Palestine, from every town in Galilee, from Judea and Jerusalem, running after Christ, what do we find in verse 27 of Luke chapter 5? And after these things, Christ went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. As already mentioned, Levi here is sitting at his workplace. Now, we're told that Levi was a publican. That's an old-fashioned word for tax collector. Now, let me explain the taxation system. I did accountancy at university, and you may think, how boring. Well, I'll be honest with you, it was pretty boring. But there was one thing that was interesting. It was tax. Because basically every year the government gives out rules and regulations about taxation, and an accountant's job is to try and work the way around it, all legally speaking. Yeah, taxation was actually very interesting. But let me tell you how the taxation system worked in this era, 2,000 years ago. Basically, the Romans, they were in control of Israel. And the Romans would have said, look, say for example, we want equivalent money today. We want 100 grand from this area. That's how much tax we want, based on the amount of people that live there. So they would have put out an offer, which wealthy individual's going to collect 100 grand for us? And so different men would have sort of pleaded for the work. And say, for example, they would have given it to one individual. So his aim was to get 100 grand for the Roman government. Now, what he would have done then, he could have got that whatever way he liked. So what he would have done was he would have hired what was known as chief publicans or chief tax collectors. And he would have got them to get him collectively 100 grand, but to get more than 100 grand so that he could get a bit of profit. And then the chief publicans, they then have to hire publicans, people like Matthew here or Levi. And their aim was to get the chief publicans' money, but not just to get their money, but to get a lot more than that. Now, Scripture will tell us about a man called Zacchaeus, and he was one of these chief publicans. And whenever he was getting his money, he just didn't get the money that he was meant to get. He got five times the amount, the Bible tells us. They were corrupt. They were greedy, selfish people. They were corrupt. They didn't just get the tax that was needed. They got five times the amount. And Levi, this man Matthew, is all part of this system. It's corrupt. That's why, in fact, if you became a tax collector in the New Testament age, you were not allowed to become a member of the church because you hated the Jewish people, because you were so corrupt, getting so much more money out of them for an enemy nation, the Romans. You were a lady member of the church. You were an outcast of society. But yet this man, Matthew, although he's brought up in a good home, in a Jewish home, in a home that's taken to church and hearing the word of God, yet he's turned his back on it all. He's become a tax collector to get as much money as he can. Why? Because that's what he's interested in. And you know, it would be a bit of a dog-eat-dog world in the taxation world. Because what we find here is Levi, as he sits at the receipt of custom, I want you to try to imagine this. He's in a place called Capernaum, a very busy business city. It was a place, it was a fishing village. And here he is in the main street. The word for seat there is the idea of being raised up. He was in a booth. He could be seen by people and he could see everybody. And he has earned himself a very prominent position. He's not in a wee dark alleyway trying to get money off some scroungers. No, he's in the main street of Capernaum. He's sitting up in a high chair and he has worked his way up there because what is his aim? It is his career. It is his money. It is his wealth. It is his pleasure. What's the chances of this man ever being converted? He's got no interest in Christ. He's perhaps very likely already rejected Christ. But now he's just too focused on the things of this earth. He's too focused on his career. He's willing even to give up his family and becoming a member of the church and all the rest of it just because he would rather the love of money than the love of the people of God. He's so focused on the things of this world. So career driven. He's got no time for Christ. Perhaps there's someone here, maybe it's your education, or maybe it's your work, or maybe it's your plans for the future. You say, I'm too busy. I haven't got time for Christ. I want this and I want that. It's more important to me than anything else. You may say tonight, oh, it's impossible. I'll ever be converted. Well, we're looking at a man who seemed impossible to be converted, but Christ converted him. You see, you may not be seeking Christ tonight, but Christ is seeking you. One other thing I want you now to see regarding this man. This man, Levi, not merely was he so focused on the things of this earth, but he was a stubborn man. You see, this man, Levi, having spent time already in the world, time living for his money, living for his pleasure, living for his possessions and all the rest of it, he would have already found out that they don't bring joy. Oh, they may bring a wee bit of pleasure. The Bible tells us sin, the pleasure does last for a season, but it's only a season. That just results in emptiness. And Levi would realize that. He realizes that it doesn't bring happiness. Realize it doesn't fulfill. But yet he still doesn't run after Christ. Still doesn't turn to Christ. Still doesn't want to hear Christ. No, he's stubborn. Still keeps rejecting Christ. But yet, what do you and I see here? We see the power of Christ and the love of Christ still seeking this man and saving this man. And again, perhaps there's someone here. A lot of people here, I do not know. I don't know your backgrounds. I don't know what situation you're in. I don't know whether you're saved or not saved. But let me just ask tonight, is there someone here and you say, it's no way I'll ever be converted. I've got no interest in Christ. I've got no desire after Christ. I'm too busy with other things. I know this doesn't bring pleasure. I know that doesn't bring satisfaction. I know the sin that I'm involved in. I'm miserable. I'm just putting on a facade. People think I'm enjoying it. But I know I'm miserable inside. But you know what? I'm still not seeking Christ. I don't want him. I want to encourage you tonight. Christ still wants you. And Christ is still seeking you. And he has the power to change you. He's the power to save you. You're not here tonight by accident. Just like Levi was not sitting in that chair that day by accident. We read there that Christ saw him. The word for see is there not to see with the eyes, it's to see with the heart. There's different words in the New Testament for see. Some mean to see with the eyes. Stephen's been through college. Stephen will tell you all about Greek. But there's way to see with the heart. Christ saw this man with the heart. Christ saw his misery. Christ saw his sin. Christ saw this man was on his way to hell and Christ loved him. Christ wanted to save him. Christ wants to save you tonight too. Let me notice a second thing here, just very briefly. We've seen that Christ is powerful. He's loving, even to save those that seem impossible to be saved. But notice with another thing, Christ is simple. How did Christ save this man? Look with me, please, at chapter 5 of this gospel record, in verse 27. After these things, Christ went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and Christ said unto him, follow me. Follow me. And Levi left all, rose up, and followed him. How did Christ save this man? Well, it was through power and love, but it was simple. Christ did not need to give this man 100 lectures on theology. Christ did not need to go through all the many philosophical reasons for the existence of God, the ontological, cosmological, teleological arguments. Christ didn't need to bribe this man with health and wealth. Christ didn't need to use music and entertainment. Christ just spoke to this man. That's how he was converted. He was converted just very simply through the word of God. Christ lovingly commanded him, follow me. And we find that he left all, rose up, and followed Christ. How can you be converted tonight? By listening and heeding the word of Christ. This here, the Bible. This is the word of God. This is the word of Christ to you and to me. You don't need to wait for something fancy. You don't need to wait for a shining light. You don't need to wait for a tragedy to strike. You don't need to wait for lightning to hit. You don't need to wait for hairs to stand up on your arms or the back of your neck. It's simple. Listen to the word of God. Listen to the loving command of Christ. Follow him. Leave where you are and follow him. See that you're a sinner. And you feel to love God with all your heart just like I have. And you've told lies your mouth just like I have. And you and I deserve hell. because we've not loved the one who's made us. We've not fulfilled and lived for his purpose. We've taken the heart that he's given us and loved ourselves instead of him, and that's rebellion. We've taken the mouths he's given us for ourselves instead of him, and that's rebellion. We've taken our hands for ourselves and not of him, for him, and that's rebellion. But notice that Christ, he wants to save. It's already been mentioned several times tonight. There, that second verse. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon Christ tonight and you shall be saved. It's simple. Listen to the word of Christ. Christ's command was simple. Follow me. Follow me now. Christ didn't say follow me in 5 years' time. Follow me when you're old and your life's ending. Follow me. Follow me now. Christ didn't say follow me just for a day. It was follow me and keep following me. Never give up following me. It was follow me in all things. The word for follow is the idea of come alongside me, walk with me. Leah in her testimony talked about walking with God, not walking in darkness and in sin, but walking in light. What is that light? Walking with Christ, who is the light. Walking according to his word. If he says, I want you to turn that way and to do this thing, will you walk with him? If he says, I want you to turn to the left and do this, well, just walk with him. Just walk with Christ, follow him. Trust him that his way is perfect. Trust him that everything he says in direction, his word, it's in love and not in hatred. He'll lead you in the paths that's right and not of wickedness. Follow me, he says. Doesn't say follow another religion. Doesn't say follow even a church. Doesn't say follow even a Christian, because Christians will let you down. No, he says follow me. Follow me. Christ's desire and will for you tonight is simple. It's follow him. Follow him. This man, it looked like he would never be converted. But you see, Christ is loving. He sought this man. And he sought him simply. Follow me. It was through his word. Notice one other thing. Whenever Christ, in converting a man, Christ is thorough. He's thorough. He doesn't like a bit of an onion just wee surface bit whenever he speaks to a man. Christ, whenever he saves a person, he changes them to the very core. If you look with me, please, at Luke chapter 5, verse 27. And after these things, Christ went forth and saw, remember, seeing with the heart, saw a publican, saw him in his misery, named Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom. And Christ said unto him, follow me. And he that is Levi left all, rose up, and followed him. Do you see the difference here? Notice with me, Levi's mind is different now. Remember, Levi was sitting there, up in his chair, perched up like a wee bird. People running after Christ, following Christ, but not Levi. He had no interest in Christ, but now things are different. Levi gets up. Levi now begins to follow Christ, because Levi now sees something beautiful in Christ. That Christ loves, not merely people, but Christ loves him. Christ came to this earth not just for people, Christ came to this earth for him. Christ would go to the cross not just for people, Christ would go to the cross for him. Christ would pay the debt with the blood that he would shed, not just for people, but Christ would die on that cross as the God-man for him. Christ's promise of salvation was not just for people, Christ's promises of salvation was for him. And Levi, who never really saw that before, never really got it before, now sees Christ as beautiful. His mind's changed. His heart's changed. Because remember, Levi was one who was all about his career, all about his wealth, all about his possessions. But look what we find. Verse 28, he left all. He left it all. This man who couldn't care about the church or the worship of God, couldn't care about learning about Christ or hearing Christ, oh, he leaves it all now. He leaves all his money, he leaves his career, he leaves his wealth, and he goes and he follows Christ. Not merely is his mind changed, he sees Christ as beautiful, not merely is his heart changed, he's willing to leave all because he now loves Christ more than everything else, but his will has changed because we find that he followed Christ. Now, I have no doubt that Levi would make mistakes like we all do who are saved tonight. But Christ told this man to follow him. And the Bible tells that Levi did follow Christ. Didn't just follow Christ for a day, he followed Christ the end of his life. Didn't follow Christ in 5 years' time, follow Christ that very day. Follow Christ in all things. Christ would have a will for Matthew, but a will for Levi, and Levi would do it. Yes, no doubt he would stumble, no doubt he would fall, but every time he would get up and he would follow again after Christ. Church history would tell us that Levi died being burned at the stake because he loved Christ. No matter what the cost, he would follow Christ to the very end because he saw Christ as beautiful. Christ is the one who loved him and went to this earth to die for him. Christ rose again. Christ was ever with him to help him, to strengthen him. Christ was his Savior, and Christ has taken him to eternal glory. And that new heaven and earth. And Levi would follow Christ to the end. Whenever Christ changes a person, he changes them to the very core. And perhaps you say, but preacher, look, I could never be converted. I could never keep salvation. Let me tell you, it's Christ that keeps you. It's him who changes your heart. It's him who changes your mind to open up your eyes to see that Christ is beautiful. It's him that gives you a new heart with new desires to leave the things that are past, to love him above all. It's him that gives you that will and that courage to follow him no matter what. It's him that keeps you. Just give your all to him. Commit your life into his hand tonight. His word is simple. Follow me. Leave where you are in your sin. Just follow me. And keep following me. Don't follow anybody else. Just follow me. Walk alongside me according to my word. Trust in me and the debt that I paid on the cross for your salvation. And let me just conclude tonight by saying that Christ's salvation was wondrous. Because you see, not merely would Christ save Levi, but Christ would actually use Levi. And in the verses we read, we find that this man Levi, in verse 29 and following, and I'll go into it, but just simply Levi, seeing how much Christ loved him, Levi, he had love now for others. He invited his friends round to a huge, big, sumptuous slap-up dinner. And he got them all round why that they could come and hear Christ. They could come into contact with Christ. And out of all the people that Christ could have chosen to write a gospel record, Christ chose Levi, Matthew. And there Levi would have a love not just for his colleagues and his friends, but a love for all people throughout this world that they could learn of Christ. You look at Matthew's gospel record and you'll find that it emphasizes that Christ is the one who's mighty to save. No matter what your need, Christ is mighty to save. No matter who you are, no matter what your background, Christ is willing to save. Christ is the only one who will save. That's the threefold emphasis of the Gospel of Matthew. You see, Christ would use Matthew. Christ would use Levi. And if you come to Christ tonight, Christ will not merely forgive you for all your sin, but Christ will take you up and he'll use you. And if you're saved already, let me just leave this with you. Christ can open up your eyes more to see his beauty. He can give you that heart to love him more and that will to follow him more. You ask him for it. You may have no interest in Christ tonight, but Christ has an interest in you. You may think there's no way I'll ever be converted, but Christ has the power, Christ has the love, and Christ has the way to convert you. He wants to save you from hell and save you from sin, to save you unto himself, to walk with him in time and eternity. Will you leave all and follow Christ? Will you leave your sin and will you follow him who loved you and shed his blood for you? Let's bow in a word of prayer and I'll hand back to Alan. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gospel passage regarding Levi. We thank you, Father, that it seemed impossible that this man would ever be saved. Lord, he had no interest in Christ. He was sitting there while others were running after Christ. But Lord, you saw him. Lord, you cared about him and Lord, you changed him. And Father, thank you for everyone here tonight who you have changed and you are still changing. But Lord, I pray for those that are still lost. May the Spirit of God make you see them tonight, and may through the Word of God May you call them, call their hearts to follow after Christ, to leave all and to follow him. Open up their eyes to see the beauty of Christ. Give them those hearts that will love Christ. Give them those wills that will be courageous to follow him no matter what the cost. Because he's worthy of all love. Bless thy word, Lord. In spite of man, we pray it. In Jesus' name we ask it for his glory and salvation. Amen.